But anyway, speaking of last night, on this great solemnity of Pentecost, last night there is the option for an extended vigil. Not so dissimilar from the one that we had just maybe a month and a half ago at the Easter Vigil. And it includes a number of readings and prayers that help us enter into this great solemnity of Pentecost. In the first reading, the choice of readings within the vigil is from the book of Genesis, and it's the story of the Tower of Babel. And certainly a story that we're probably all familiar with from when we were very young. And we know that the people of that city wanted to make a name for themselves and to build a tower that reached to the heavens. However, God saw that this was not a good thing, and he makes them speak different languages. And in doing so, they spread to all the lands and all the regions of the earth. Now, hearing this reading in conjunction with our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles gives us a kind of interesting contrast, or a little bit of a contrasting parallel, if you will, where the apostles were understood by all who were there, even though they were from different lands, and they all understood in their own language. Now, this helps us to enter into God's narrative, that is, the great story of our salvation, both for each of us individually, but for the whole human race. And with regards then to the salvation of all of humanity, I think we're all again familiar with all those stories of salvation. We've learned them all since we were very young. We know that God created the world and all it holds. He created man with the special gift of free will, which we talked about just a couple weeks ago. Man was free to choose to love, but man didn't. And oftentimes we still don't. Instead, we want to play the role of God. That is part of the first sin. Adam and Eve ate the fruit, which the serpent said would make them like gods. And from that first fall, throughout all of Scripture, we encounter a bit of attention. We encounter God's plan to save his people, starting with Abraham and his family, moving all the way to the kingdom of Israel and through to the New Testament. But we also encounter man still struggling with their sins, still struggling to choose God over themselves, you could say still trying to be like God. And even in the story, then, of the Tower of Babel, which we heard, we would have heard last night, perhaps, when they wanted to build that tower to reach the heavens, they wanted to be like God. They wanted to make themselves like gods. And so from Isaac to Joshua to David and Solomon, the story is the same. Everything changed, however, with one word, which our Blessed Mother said, and that word is fiat. Yes, let it be done unto me according to thy word. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus. And God had been preparing humanity for millennia, from Abraham on, for that very moment. God became man so that man might truly become like God. Jesus then worked countless miracles, taught thousands, and with complete surrender and obedience to the Father, he sacrificed himself on the cross for the sake of our salvation. But more than that, we remember last week, at Easter time, that he rose from the dead to give us new life. We remember last week at the Ascension that he sits at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us and to guide us. And this week, during Pentecost, we remember that he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us within the arms of the church to be our advocate, our consoler, our paraclete. And this is God's plan for the salvation of humanity. And this is where the rubber meets the road then, because once we answer the question, what is God's plan for the salvation of humanity, we can ask the question, what is God's plan for our salvation? That is, my salvation, your salvation, all of our individual salvation in conjunction with that greater plan. Because we are called to enter into that greater dynamic of God's salvation for all. Each of our individual stories will undoubtedly look very different. We can look to the great variety of the saints that we have with different, unique, and sometimes really surprising stories of how God called them to himself. But God calls each of us to himself at the end of the day. Even though our stories will be unique, they will all rhyme. They'll all have similar necessary elements. And first, I always talk about the big three. You're probably sick of hearing them, right? First is daily prayer, getting to know God in that deeply personal level by being with Him in prayer, that relationship. Then weekly Sunday Mass, which we're all at right now, worshiping in the way God instructs us and forming a community. And frequent confession, acknowledging that we are imperfect sinners before the seat of mercy. However, today we're reminded that we're given something else that binds all of these efforts together. And without them, those efforts are useless. That is the Holy Spirit. Only through the Holy Spirit can any of these efforts for holiness be fruitful. To use a bit of an analogy, we could have a perfectly wired house with lots of outlets that are really conveniently placed, lots of breakers that aren't hard to find in the dark, and lots of very nice light fixtures and all these things. But if it's not connected to the power grid or to some source of power, this house, this electrical system, will be kind of useless, won't it? And just the same, we know that if we check all the boxes of our spiritual life, we show up for the things, we do lots of rosaries, we go to Mass every week or more often, we give money, we do all of these things, those are wonderful and they're necessary, but they're not sufficient because we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Today we're reminded that we have been given this Holy Spirit to animate us, to energize us within all of these efforts, to bring us together and to lead us in a unique way so that we might know and heed God's word as He instructs us, from kind of both an objective way, that is knowing our catechism, our scripture, doing our prayers, the big three as we talked about, all of those things, behaving and believing well, those are necessary. But the Holy Spirit leads us in a little bit more of a subjective way, that we might know where God is calling each of us individually in our prayer, in our guiding us through the Mass, through confession, and through each of our unique call. And that is, we belong to the kingdom of God, to the body of God in a unique way. Just as St. Paul says, this also takes part in a unique community. We hear in our second reading that we are many parts, but one body. This is the gift given on Pentecost then to the apostles and to Mary. They preached to the many nations, and they were understood. Today, the church continues to preach to many nations and in many languages, starting with you all and your families and all the way out to the great missionaries throughout the world, to call all people into God's church, into the arms of God's church. So today, we come before our Lord living in the Eucharist, and we pray that like the apostles, we might receive anew the Holy Spirit, that we might be inspired to behave, to believe, but most importantly, to belong, and to follow our call as He calls us. And so we pray today, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.